Would you stand right now? I feel faith in this room. Would you lift a shout of praise to a God who is a way maker? A God who is everything we just sang and more. He's a promise keeper. He's a light in your darkness tonight. Oh, why don't you lift a shout of praise tonight? If you believe it, would you push your praise a little further? Would you lift your voice a little louder? Would you give a little bit more tonight for a God who will make a way where there is no way? We praise this way maker. We praise this eternal God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shout out. To describe him, but he is all those things and so much more tonight. Maybe you just strolled in tonight, you're barely here, but let me tell you who is here and who's ready to work and ready to minister. Again, his name is Jesus. And if you need something tonight, if you need anything, whether healing, salvation, you need deliverance, God can do it here tonight. He is a way maker. Aren't you thankful we serve a faithful God, a promise keeper tonight? And I'm thankful for his presence. So clear that his presence is here. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. This is the account of the covenant of God with Abraham, who was called Abram at the time. Verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He's not seeing a way. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord is powerful, church. Saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6 says, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord. And the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. Skipping down to verse 21. Chapter 21 and verse 1, rather, says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Tonight I want to preach to you from this passage and this title, Dealing with Delay. Dealing with Delay. I'm going to ask you all to indulge me for just a moment. I'd like everyone, the age of 25 and younger to remain standing. And everyone else, all of our wonderful, wonderful saints of God above 25, you can go ahead and be seated. Everyone under the age of 25 and under, you can remain standing. Thank you, guys. Backing me up. In case you had not noticed tonight, a lot can happen in the space of 25 years. Although it may seem like just a vapor to some, the length or span of 25 years can feel like an eternity to others, especially to those who are still standing. Some of them are soon to get their driver's license, soon to graduate, soon to start college, soon to graduate college. Seems like an eternity between now and then. Either way you look at it, though, the fact remains a whole lot can happen in the space of 25 years. In order to prove that, I wanted to demonstrate to all of us tonight several things that are at least 25 years old, including those who are standing before you tonight. Why don't you give them a round of applause? What an awesome group. Everyone 25 and younger, wave at everyone else. Just give them a nice wave. Thank them for all the investment they've made in your life, and then you can be seated. Just 25 years ago, the first text message ever was sent. Sent via computer to a man named Richard Davis, who received it on his Orbital 901 mobile phone. Anyone ever have one of those or something like it? One of those giant, they said it was bigger than a computer. Don't know why he walked around with it. Anyone ever have a giant mobile phone? I thought that a Nextel was a giant mobile phone, okay? Thought my dad's was giant. He had one of those Nextel that beeped, you know. He got the text message on December 3rd, 1992. And that text was sent by a 22-year-old engineer who now happens to be 47 years old. First text message. He's 25 years old. Barney and friends turned 25 this year. After captivating audiences around the globe for over two decades, especially in the mid to late 90s, all you 90s babies, Barney is now 25 years old. Can you believe it? The food pyramid, which showed people like me that our eating habits were extremely unhealthy, it's now 25 years old. It's also, for those that did not know, it is now obsolete. I have outlived the food pyramid. Let me just tell you. It was wrong. I'm still here, and it's not. They use something completely different. I don't know what it is because, yeah, I don't care, as you say. 25 years ago today in 1992, a postage stamp was 25 cents. The average gallon of gas was only 97 cents. Some of you are singing, "Take Me Back, Dear Lord." The second edition of Microsoft Office. Anyone ever use Microsoft Office in the house? It was called Microsoft 3.0. I don't know why it's called 3.0 when it was the second edition. But it was released in the year 1992. It had an interface that looked totally different from what we enjoy today. Did it have color? Did anyone use it? Did it have color? It had color. Okay. Okay, all right. The end of the Cold War, 25 years in the past. On February 2nd, 1992, there was a joint declaration formally ending the Cold War and declaring a new era of, quote, friendship and partnership between the two nations. The Cold War ended on February 2nd, 1992, and I'm excited to tell you tonight that just 59 days after that declaration, yours truly was born on April 1st, 1992 in Bridgeton, Missouri, which makes me, as you may have guessed already, 25 years old tonight. A lot can happen in 25 years. Can I get an amen? A lot can happen. Although it may seem like a breeze to some since the advent of text messages and the 97-cent gas prices, the fact remains that 25 years eclipses a significant segment of our lives in our collective historical narrative. In just 25 years' time, major life events, including times of joy and times of celebration, are observed. In 25 years' time, major life crises and overwhelming storms and trials are endured. In 25 years' time, countless new lives are introduced to this world and new destinies are realized in pursuit. A lot can happen in 25 years. Which brings us tonight to the promise and the destiny of the man mentioned in our text, that Old Testament patriarch named Abraham. Genesis 16 records Abraham received a promise from God, but you notice it did not specify in that passage the amount of time he would have to wait in order to receive it, as most promises do not. After many years of barrenness, God promised Abraham his wife would bear him a child, and that through that child, Abraham would become the father of many nations. At this point, Abraham was almost halfway through his lifespan when the promise was initially introduced. And for a man that had no children, it must have been seemingly unbelievable. He was beginning the fourth quarter of a century-long lifespan. His body had been weakened and torn. His years of laboring in fields and amongst the flocks must have made his destiny and his promise all but attainable in his mind. You see, Genesis records that overall Abraham would wait a combined total of over 25 years for his promise. A time span that would eclipse every life that was just standing before you a moment ago, including my own. He waited 25 years to see that little boy crying in his mother's arms. He waited 25 years before seeing the promise of the God who called him out of or into unfamiliar and uncomfortable territory. He waited and trusted in God for 25 years before seeing his answer. But tonight I find it encouraging that although it may have been uncomfortable for Abraham, although it may have taken longer than he initially thought, and although it may have been tiresome waiting on the Lord for all those years, Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Chapter 21 of Genesis tells us, God visited Sarah as he had said, as he promised, and the Lord did for Sarah as he spoke. For Sarah conceived and bore him a son at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And chapter 16, verse 6 says that despite the delay, Abraham believed in God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And tonight I've come to point out to some of you, like Abraham, you've been dealing with delay in your life. For weeks, months, and even years, you've been waiting on the promise of God. And if we were truly honest tonight, someone raised their hands readily and say, there have been times when I've been frustrated and uncomfortable, and times I'm uneasy, wondering when God is going to fulfill his promise. But I've come to tell you, it may have taken longer than you thought. It may be uncomfortable right now. It may even be frustrating. But just because your answer is delayed, that does not mean it is discontinued. Oh, hear me, just because you're dealing with delay, that does not mean you're dealing with the detriment of your promise. Just because you haven't seen it yet, that does not mean it is not on the way. Just like Abraham, some of you got a promise from God. You got a word from God. You've held on to it. And you're wondering, am I ever going to see this fulfilled? Am I ever going to see my answer? Can I tell you tonight, if God spoke it, he will deliver it. If God promised it, he will provide it. And even though it may have taken longer than you thought, he will come through at the moment he has decided. I'm telling you, even though you're dealing with some delay tonight, your promise is on the way. It's on the way, church. It's on the way. You may be dealing with delay, but that does not mean your answer is not on the way. Daniel was desperate, waiting on an answer from God in Daniel chapter 10. Verse 2 tells us Daniel was in mourning and fasting for 3 weeks, waiting on an urgent answer from God. It was on the 21st day when that angel finally arrived with that answer. He explained he had been sent with a message, but that the message had been delayed by the prince of the kingdom of Persia for a full 21 days. But I want you to notice something. It's here in this passage. The angel says to Daniel, one of the most reassuring scriptures I have ever found in the entire Old and New Testament combined. He tells Daniel in verse 12, and this is for some of you tonight, I want you to hear this. Do not fear, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to humble, ooh, I feel faith right now, and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Someone hear me tonight. Your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Yes, Daniel, your answer was delay. But I've come to tell you that your words were heard in heaven on the very first day. Yes, you had to wait a little longer than you expected, Daniel. But your prayers reached heaven long before your answer ever reached you. Yes, you had to wait a little while. But God was already in motion with your answer before it ever arrived. Oh, hear me, church. You may be dealing with delay tonight, but your prayers have been heard in heaven. You may have waited for a week, a month, or a year, but your prayers have reached the ears of a graceful and sovereign God. Even though you're dealing with a delay, your answer's on its way. And not only that, but notice, Daniel mourned and waited for nearly 21 days. Notice also that angel was resisted for 21 days. This tells me not only were Daniel's prayers heard that very first day, but also his prayers prompted a response from heaven on the first day. Oh, someone take comfort in that. His prayers caused heaven to move on the first day. He may not have seen it yet. He didn't receive it yet. He may not have seen what was going on the surface. But make no mistake, God responded to Daniel's prayers instantly. Let me tell you tonight, church, God does not sit on his hands when you pray. God is not absent. He's not checked out. And he is not dormant when you pray. You may not have seen it yet, saying to God. You may not have received it yet. You may not know what's going on under the surface. But that does not negate the fact that your prayers have prompted God to do something on your behalf. Your answer may be delayed tonight, but that does not mean it's discontinued. You may be dealing with delay, but your words were heard on the first day. Those prayers you prayed for that unsaved loved one, they were heard on the first day, church. That prayer you lifted before God and that faith you lifted with that sickness in your body, can I tell you that was heard on the first day? That it didn't hit the ceiling and come back down, but something happened on the first day that you did not see, but God is in motion. And God, even though you're feeling like it's taking too long, God is on the move and ready to do a work in your life. Hear me tonight. Your prayers have reached heaven. Do not fear. Don't be discouraged that you haven't received your answer yet, because your prayers have been sent and they've been received tonight. They've been delivered. God has heard them. And he will respond. Our text tells us, immediately after the promise was given, Abraham believed in the Lord. God counted it to him for righteousness. You know, it's a lot easier, thought about this. It's a lot easier to believe that promise on the first day. I'm standing in this altar, and I hear a word from the preacher. I hear a word from God speaking. It's a whole lot easier to believe in that promise the first day it's given. Maybe even the second day. It's a lot easier to believe on Sunday. But what about Monday? It's easier to believe on the first day, but what about the 10th day? What about the 100th day? For Abraham, what about 15 months and 15 years as his body's breaking down? And he's looking off in the distance, wondering when God's going to visit, wondering when God's going to show up. That promise fading in the back of his mind. How do you continue to believe then? Many of you probably use the web service. You'll recognize it when I say it. It's called Amazon. Any of you ever heard of that? Some of you probably have Amazon Prime. You get that package within 2 days. You don't have to wait. A couple months ago, back in March, my wonderful wife ordered me a birthday present. Because of her thoughtfulness, ordered me a birthday present through Amazon. Judging by the timetable, time stamp, the order, she ordered it in plenty of time for it to arrive before or on April 1st. However, on the day of my birthday, she gave me a couple gifts and she said, "Hey, I got to give you a rain check on one. It was supposed to come in, but has not come in yet." She assured me. Amazon promised it would come that week. I wanted my birthday present. You're going to ask Mariah, I never checked the mail. I was checking the mail that week. The next day, checking that mail. It was about a week later. We were pulling out of the driveway. I said, babe, I said, did you look at the tracking number on that? See, you know, if it's close, you know, I'm after that present. She said, yeah. She said, I literally just looked at it. Says it's out for delivery. It's out for delivery day. It's supposed to be coming by. We'll check the mail again later. Anticipation. Bubbling in my spirit. I said, all right. If Amazon said it, it'll get here sometime. Tonight, I hate to tell you, the date is August 27th, and I have yet to see that package in the mail that Amazon promised to deliver. That 5-star rating on that deliverer is going down the tubes. I'm sorry. Hear me. Some of you tonight, you've been checking that proverbial tracking number every day, frantically searching for an answer, checking in with God constantly, and your answer has been out for delivery. And you're wondering tonight, and you've wondered this week, am I ever going to see it? Am I ever going to see my promise? Am I ever going to get my miracle? Am I ever going to behold it with my own eyes? Can I tell you tonight, church, God is more reliable than Amazon. Oh, God can outmatch UPS. And there is not a man-made delivery service that can rival the God that we serve. If God promised it, He will deliver it every single time. Oh, it may be the 10th day. It may be the 100th trip to the altar. It may be the 1,000th prayer you prayed. But keep lifting that prayer up to God. If He promised it, it's coming. If He said it in His word, it's signed, sealed, and forever settled in heaven. If God started it, He will finish it. Do not be discouraged by a delayed answer. Do not let your faith dwindle because of a delayed answer. Don't let it rob your joy tonight. But rest assured, your miracle and answer is on the way. And being not weak in faith, Romans says, he considered not his own body when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Oh, believe me. He was checking that tracking number probably every day, wondering, when's it going to come? When's my boy coming? Oh, when's God going to deliver on its promise? But the word says he's unwavering in his walk. Why? Because he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded what God had promised. He was able also to perform. So I haven't seen my delivery yet, but I know it's coming. I haven't seen my miracle yet, but it's just got to be out for delivery. It's on its way. I haven't seen my answer yet, but it's still on the way. God promised it. Abraham dealt with delay for over 2 decades. And he staggered not at the promise. He never wavered because he was strong in faith. He was fully persuaded after 25 years, God would perform what he promised. You want to know how to deal with delay tonight? Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Do not let it waver. Do not let it shake, but be fully convinced that God will perform what he's promised. Whether it's the first day or the 1,000th day. Hold on to your faith. Your promise is out for delivery, saints. Hold on to your faith. When dealing with your delayed answer, hold on to faith. And tonight, when dealing with your faith, or maybe the lack thereof, follow the example of Abraham and hold on to prayer. Prayer. I find it interesting, even in that Old Testament era, before the veil was torn, that new covenant was offered, Abraham knew the voice of God and communed with him regularly. This was evidenced by the fact the Bible records multiple conversations between God and Abraham. And at one point in James chapter 2, Abraham becomes one of the only men in Scripture, if not the only man, to be called a friend of God. He knew how to pray, church. But perhaps even more telling than all of this is the fact that in Genesis 22, he was willing to lay down his own son and his promise on the altar in order to maintain his relationship with God. I didn't have it in my notes, but if it comes down to it, which one would you choose? If your answer doesn't seem like it's coming, would you sacrifice your relationship on the altar? Or if push came to shove, and thank God we don't have to worry about this, but think about it. Would you sacrifice that answer and say, God, I'm going to keep following you. This was my promise, Lord, but I haven't seen it yet. Or maybe you're calling me to give it up, but I'm going to continue following you. Verse 7 says, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? You notice in this verse, Isaac understood what it took to perform a worthy sacrifice. Isaac could see there were missing components that day to the sacrifice. He wondered where that lamb could be for the sacrifice. It goes to show us Isaac had an intimate knowledge of what it meant to worship God and conduct a sacrifice in his presence. Because could it be that that boy, as a boy, he had watched his dad build sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice? Could it be he'd witnessed his father communicating with the Lord countless times already? And Isaac knew what it meant to sacrifice because his dad had communed with and walked with God every day. And he saw it with his own eyes. Tonight we wonder, how did Abraham keep the faith? How did he stagger not the promise of God? How was he fully persuaded for 25 years? I'll tell you how. Abraham knew how to walk with God. Abraham knew how to pray. He knew how to commune with God. And the Bible tells us he was fully persuaded what God had promised he was able to perform. When dealing with delay, Abraham knew to pray. How do you continue in faith for 25 years? Let me tell you how. You get up in the morning and you commune with God. Before you go to sleep, you commune with God. Walking through your day, you commune with God. You walk with Him every day. You continue praying. You continue lifting up your prayers to God. You continue calling on the name of Jesus. How do you hold on? You plead the blood of Jesus one more time. You lift that prayer one more time. You lift that wavering young adult or unsaved loved one more time. When dealing with delay, walk with God. Many of you know I've said it many times. My appreciation for my own father, my dad, right back here. Dad, would you wave at everyone? This man has taught me many things in my 25 years. But tonight I'm thankful to tell you, of all the things my dad's taught me, the thing I'm most thankful for is my dad taught me how to pray. Even when dealing with delay, he taught me how to pray. I'd wake up just like Isaac witnessed his father. I'd wake up 5:30 and 6 in the morning to my dad's prayers right outside my room. It got really loud as he communed with God. He'd wake me up. We hadn't seen all the answers yet. Some were still out for delivery. But I witnessed my uncle, my dad's brother, come back into the house of God after years of backsliding. I witnessed my own brother come back into the faith after years of prayer. I witnessed my siblings being used in the kingdom of God and for His glory. I witnessed my mama going through a bout of cancer and coming through on the other side healed. Oh, listen, we dealt with delay. It didn't come all at once, but it didn't stop their prayers. They kept talking to God. They kept communing with God. They kept bringing and saying, Lord, we don't know when you're coming, when you'll bring the miracle, but here it is again. I'll walk with you. Oh, hear me. If I've learned anything from their example, it's that you keep praying. You keep bringing it before the Lord. You keep walking with Him and let your requests be made known before God. And the Bible says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When dealing with delay, pray. Pray. Abraham held on to his faith, walked with and communed with God. He was a friend of God. And lastly, when he dealt with his delay, according to Romans 4:20, Abraham gave glory to God. Stagger not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. As I mentioned on a regular occasion, Abraham would sacrifice and bring a sacrifice of praise unto God even when his answer seemed afar off. I can just picture him, church, building that sacrifice, bringing those stones, those bricks, brick by brick, build another sacrifice for God, putting it on that pile, bringing some sticks and that perfect lamb from his flock. All the while, that promise that he had not seen, still in the back of his mind, I can almost hear him. God, I haven't seen my answer yet, but I'm going to keep bringing these bricks and keep building this altar of praise, God. I haven't seen it yet, Lord. I haven't seen my boy yet, but I'm going to keep praising you, Lord. I'm going to bring my sacrifice, my best sacrifice, God. I'm not going to bring you a half-hearted sacrifice or a sacrifice that has blemishes. I'm going to bring my best, Lord. I haven't seen my answer yet, God, but I'm going to keep praising you. I don't understand why it's taking so long, God, but I'm going to keep praising you. I'll keep bringing my praise. It's just this morning, Brother Levine preached to us that we are called to worship a God that we do not understand. He's too great and his ways are higher than ours. While he was preaching, I was sitting on that back row. Brother Levine began to talk about this unfathomable God and our call to worship him. When I heard someone behind me begin to lift a shout of praise, I looked over my shoulder to see Sister Regina Wright sitting right over there, standing and worshiping God. Many of you know Sister Regina has been waiting for a miracle and waiting for an answer from God. But right there in the middle of her delay, in the middle of preaching, I saw her give her best praise unto God. I talked to her this morning. She said she hasn't seen it yet, but there she was. God, I haven't seen it yet, but I'll keep worshiping you, Lord. I'll keep lifting you up, God. I'll keep praising you, Lord, until I see my answer. Oh, I've come to tell you, church, we're not called to understand him. We're called to praise him. We're not called to comprehend him. We're called to praise him. We're not called to question him. We are called to praise him. So here I am, God. I'll keep praising you, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I haven't seen it yet, but I lift another praise, God. I know it may not be altar time, but I lift another praise, God. Here I am, Lord. I'll praise you again. Oh, right now, I wonder, would you lift your hand right now toward heaven? Would you lift a shout of praise along with it? Oh, Jesus, here we are, Lord. Some of us have not seen our answer yet, God. Some of us, our neighbors are wondering why we're praising. But here I am with another shout of praise, God. Here I am with another sacrifice of praise, Lord. It's not easy to lift you up right now in this valley. But here I am with more praise. Would you stand all across this place? Would you just continue that worship? Lift your hands right now. Would you let out a loud praise, but a sincere praise? Let God know. Some of you need to let him know. He hasn't heard you in a while. Wondering if you're still going to praise him. Would you lift up a praise right now? Some of you that are in the valley, would you lift up a praise right now? Some of you that got sickness in your body, would you lift up a praise unto this God? Oh, and this God who is a way maker. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar to bring your faith, bring your prayer, and your praise. Bring it all to God. Before you do, I want to tell you what I felt in the Holy Ghost earlier this week for tonight. I shared this with our youth department several weeks ago. But I felt like God placed it on my spirit, back in my spirit, for tonight. Gospel of John records the account of the disciples after they had toiled all night and had not caught any fish. Came up empty. Some of you tonight feel like you've been praying for far too long. And casting that net of prayer every single day and coming up with nothing. You're waiting on your answer, and you didn't receive it in the time that you thought you would. There are some who are even near the point of giving up for praying and giving up on God and that promise. But I want to read to you John 21:6, and when I do, I believe that faith will rise in this room, and God's going to help us. It says, and Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Do it again. And you will find. So they cast. They were obedient to the word of God. It says they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They could not contain the answer God gave them. Notice at the appointed time and the appointed place, they cast the net again after they had prayed. They had cast it all night, church. They were weary of casting. But in the appointed time, they threw it out again and they couldn't contain it. Hear me tonight. I believe tonight is the appointed time. And I believe that this altar is the appointed place. And I've come to encourage someone. Throw out that net again, saying to God. Throw out that net again of prayer and faith. Cast that net of praise again. And watch and see what God does when you obey His word. Someone tonight, cast the net again. If you have a need in your life, if you need God to do anything from healing to an unsaved loved one, I want you to begin to step out of this aisle or step out into an aisle. I open the front of this altar for everyone having a need in their life. I want you to come right now and give your faith, give your prayer, and give your praise. Would you gather in right here and make room for some others that are coming? Someone tonight, God is ready to answer a need you've been praying for what seems to be far too long. Would you cast the net of prayer again? Would you lift up your voice again? Would you call on the name of Jesus again? Would you reach out to the Waymaker again? Oh, someone, lift your voice right now across this place and let God, let Him fill that net of prayer. Let Him fill that net of praise. Let Him fill that net of faith. Oh, yes. Lift your voice right now. Jesus, I haven't seen it yet, God. I'm weary of casting, God. But I'm going to throw it again, Lord. And I'm just going to see what happens. I'll be obedient.